The Association of Classical and Christian Schools presents Repairing the Ruins, the 2014 Annual Conference, copyright 2014. If you have purchased this recording, you are free to make multiple copies for your school's use. You may not sell copies of the audio or post copies on the internet. Order additional conference recordings from this year's conference or previous conferences at store.accsedu.org. Find out more about the Association of Classical and Christian Schools at www.accsedu.org. Thank you.
I see teachers that believe classical teachers, and then there's non-classical teachers in methodology. So they're weak. They're weak areas. It's uncoordinated. It's not strong. Skeleton, curriculum, muscles, and tendons, teachers. Then you say, well, what do the administrators do? Well, the administrators, we connect the brain, the policy manual, the vision, and the purpose of our school. We are an ACCS school. It's in our policy manual. The administrator shall not do this. The administrator shall not do this. The administrator will do this. You're the nerves. So as administrator, you are the nerves. Now, nerves communicate what the brain is wanting, what this picture is, to the rest of the body. So and in these teachers, these muscles, if they are not connecting, then you are to motivate them to connect. You have to see the gaps. You have to see the gaps in curriculum and the gaps in methods. Now, often as administrators, we just want to be the positive nerve senders. And just, everything's good. We're eating chocolate. Everything's going well. But you know you're getting cavities somewhere. There's a disease somewhere. You have to be able to stop that, and you have to be able to respond and say, that is not what I am here to do. Here's the vision. Here's the policy. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. The picture is not looking right. And so you got to get it right. So you are the nerves. The heart is Christ. The heart of the whole body is Christ. All of those strong muscles, all of those connections with the bone, all of those beautiful pictures, if it's dead in Christ, then it's lost. It's all functioning from nothing. So Christ has to be the center of your skeleton, your curriculum. Christ has to be the center of the heart of your teachers. You must love God with all the heart, soul, strength, and mind. Love the kids. Then love their content. The heart of it all. With that, comparison. Move to the next step in our outline, communication. Communication. We're the nerves. We have to communicate. Over-communication leads to success. Under-communication leads to a mess. I've seen it over and over again in my career where the mess has happened is because we miscommunicated or we didn't communicate. It's a lack of communication. Or we communicated in a way that it wasn't understood. And so, as a mantra, over-communication leads to success, under-communication leads to a mess. You know you've done your good job as administrator when you can have your staff use that same mantra at different times. So make sure that you know that you must communicate. If you don't like meetings, you're in the wrong business. As an administrator, there's no way to communicate in an effective manner without talking and meeting. The larger the meeting, the better. And we'll get to that on our next step. Well, we talked about the head, the body, talked about the nerves, administration. It's vital. I tell you, when parts of my career, when I felt like things were getting off track, is when the board and the administration stop talking. There becomes a linkage. And that's how you isolate an administrator, is when you stop talking to them. And so be proactive. I would try to set up and very much tell you that with the board chairperson, whoever that board chairperson is, you need to set up a meeting every 2 weeks and say, I want to meet with you at least every 2 weeks for lunch or for breakfast. I want to know how I'm doing, and I want you to know how I need help. Ask for help. Communication. Ask for help if you need help. Don't fear the board. They're there to support you. They hired you. Communicate. Administrative team. The most important part of your team at that school, and I mean team, is those people you work with daily. And the administrative team, let me just define a couple things for you. There are three terms I think often are misnomers that have been taken out of context of education and applied just willy-nilly. But headmaster. Headmaster comes from a term that the person is a master teacher. They're a director of curriculum and instruction. That's a headmaster. So a headmaster usually will have a dean of student affairs that takes care of discipline, will have an athletic director, have a business manager, and all those people don't necessarily report to the headmaster, master of the teachers, curriculum instruction. A head of school is a person that is in charge of finances, also in charge of curriculum instruction, also in charge of student affairs, also in charge of athletic directors. A head of school is an administrator of a small school, but has all of those roles placed on you. So it would be important for you to know which one you are. The third part is a superintendent. A superintendent is an overseer of all those things that a head of school is, but has people, usually different people, in those roles. We'll have a marketing and development person. The head of school is usually their own marketing development person. But a superintendent has a marketing development person that reports to the superintendent. An athletic director reports to the superintendent. A business manager reports to the superintendent. A set of principals, one at each stage of the trivium or more. So that's how a superintendent functions. But in all of those, I will tell you that all of those are going to fail if you, as a headmaster or head of school or superintendent, don't communicate daily with your team. When I say daily, it's when you see them, you want to make sure, how you doing, anything I can do to help you. But more importantly, the administrative team, your admin assistants, if you have an athletic director, you need to meet once a week with that administrative team in a standing meeting. Anybody you think is a major decision maker at your school needs to be meeting with you weekly. They need to hear your heart. They need to have the same words that you are using. You need to be hearing from them how it's going. What do they need? You need to be supporting them. The model that one person does everything is a faulty model. It's a failure model. The model of you going in and understanding that you have, God has provided for you, people that can help you, you need to grab those people, and once a week you need to put them in the same room, and you need to pray together, and you need to talk about what the school needs together. Scripture says strength comes from many counselors. Don't think you need to do it by yourself. If you think you do, stop it. Get that team together. Love one another. Decide what you're going to do. Then leave that room connected. Staff. The staff are vital producers. They are the ones that are connecting the curriculum. They're the ones that are coordinating it. They need support. They need strength. That cannot happen with you meeting with them once a month. My schedule generally was Mondays, staff meetings. Administrative team meeting. Excuse me. Tuesdays, I had a staff meeting. Tuesdays were a staff meeting that I do house cleaning. So look at the calendar. I meet with the staff. We talk about this upcoming week. So it's a housekeeping. Anything you need to, and I tell them, that's what it is on Tuesdays. We meet Tuesday mornings or Tuesday afternoons, and this is a house cleaning meeting every Tuesday. Wednesday mornings or Wednesday afternoons is teacher training. We do book clubs. We do training for every year we choose a book. And if you haven't done the seven laws of teaching, you need to do the seven laws of teaching this year. If you're an administrator for the first time and you don't know what seven laws of teaching are, you need to read that book right now. Then you go buy it and read it. That's the first book you need to do as a staff. You need to start defining terms, what it means to teach together collectively. Use the same terms. You need to teach your teachers what those terms are. And yes, you need to quiz them on it. Seven Laws book, there's one out there that has the questions in the back of the book already. Expect them to know it. Accreditation team, I think somebody is here from the accreditation team that came to the school that I was accredited. I told the accreditation team, I said, you go up to any one of my staff members, I challenge you, and ask them one of the seven laws. Not in order, but ask them. I expect them to answer it. Well, that came from me knowing those. So, communication with your staff. Wednesdays, teacher training, build it in the schedule, make yourself do it, commit to it, and your teachers will love you for it. Yes, they'll complain when you got to call them down the hallway. All right, it's time to have teacher training. Let's go. Come on. Yes, it's hard to get it, but they love it once you get them there. And they know you care for them because you are dedicating that time to train them. Thursday mornings for me, I met with every new staff member that year. So on Thursday mornings, how you doing? You doing okay? How's it coming in with your grades? How many grades have you got so far? How about parents? Any parent issues? In doubt, hear me out. In doubt, new teacher, hear me out, administrator. Let me support you. New teachers, I'm in those new teachers' classrooms the first 2 weeks of school as much as I can. I'm supporting them. I'm setting the tone of classroom management. I'm there when they need me. I'm not going to wait till the problems arrive. I'm going to solve the problems before they happen. Get out in that classroom the first 2 weeks. Usually, you don't have a lot of distant problems the first 2 weeks. Not always. My first year at a school, one time, the school started at 8. By 8:30, I spanked 3 children. Set the culture, though. Culture was set. But generally, the first 2 weeks, you have some time. Get out there. Wednesdays, every Wednesday morning, the first book you do with new teachers, 7 Laws of Teaching. All new teachers, every Wednesday. Every Thursday. On Fridays, I meet with the staff, and what I like to do is be able to look backwards and look forwards. Fridays is automatic lesson plans are due on Friday. All lesson plans are due on Friday for next week. And we talk about last week or next week, we need any questions about lesson plans. It's more accountability for what we're doing on Friday. Parents, communication with parents. New parents, every new family that comes to your school, I like to have a meeting for new parents. Sometimes you have an open house, but I would like to schedule a meeting for any new parent to our school week before school starts, come in, meet. How are you ready? Any questions? Looking forward to having children at school. Get out front. Anticipate problems. At the same time, with students, have students in your school recruit those kids to come and connect with those kids, show them around the school. Show those kids around the school. Make it a friendly environment before they get there the first day. Because carpool is usually a mess. So if you wait till the first day, sometimes I know as an administrator, I didn't necessarily get around to meeting with those new families that morning, the morning of. Also with parents, open house meetings as much as possible. When you first come on to the scene as administrator, you are the new person. You are the new person. They wonder what you believe about certain things. Tell them. Tell them. Don't be the unknown. Be the known. Be the person they know. Start with who you are in Christ. How did you come to know the Lord? Who are you? How you love the Lord. How you love classical education. How you love their children. And it's because of that commitment to Christ that you are in this ministry with them. Have an open house of parents. As many people as you can, you want to convince them that you are there to help them and to love them. Build that relationship of trust early. Have open houses. Muffins for Moms. Started Muffins for Moms at every school that I've ever been in. Have a Muffins for Mom early. Get in the room. You talk about things that moms want to talk about. I bring my wife to that. I would bring your husband to it. So sit down with them. Father of the father, mother of the mother, administrator, teacher, relationship. Put all that aside, brother and sister in Christ. Let's talk about anything we want to talk about. Be open and transparent. Tell the truth always in love. Breakfast donuts for dads. Have donuts for dads. Bring the dads in. Sit around. I don't like it in a presentation format. I like it in a room that you can just get in a circle, pray together. If you're a lady administrator, I had my husband there. I would have my husband there. Just connect. Connecting. Have those open houses. There isn't any agenda. I don't go to any of those Muffins for Moms, Donuts for Dads, or open houses with any agenda other than sharing the love of Jesus Christ and the love of the children and the love of the school. Yes, you're going to talk about curriculum. Yes, you're going to talk about college advising and about how kids are doing in college. Yes, you're going to talk about field trips, and yes, about carpool. All those things are details, but don't let the details divide your school. Focus on Christ. Focus on why we're here. Lead with the gospel at all times. Assemblies. When you communicate to kids that you understand there is a uniform code. Yes, and you expect them to abide by that, and it's because you love them, and it's because their parents love them, and that the board loves them by putting these restraints together. Restraints are a demonstration of our commitment to protect you and to love you and to teach you. So please, love us back by loving the standard. Say that in your assemblies. Let that be very much a part of what you do each time. They'll respond. They'll respond. Get out and get in the hallways. Get out and get in the hallways to learn your students and who they are. Just stop. Say, I'm sorry, but the bell's about to ring in about 3 minutes. I really want to get out and mingle with the kids. I'll be back in about 5 minutes. What's your priority? you send a message. Unless it's a certain meeting, then you can't do that. But get out and get in the hallways. Get out there. That's the reason you're doing it. Learn the kids' names. Right now, if you're a first-time administrator, get onto the website from last year. Ask them to send you the pictures. You can get Ren Webb, little pictures, have the little names on it. Start learning the kids' names. It's impressive. It's impressive. Walk down the hallway. Oh, how you doing, Jimmy? Oh, Dr. Stevenson knows my name. You know, great. Puts a smile on their face. Know their names. Call them by name. You're loving them. Prepare for that. Take that time. Invest in that. Communication. Website. Your website in the 21st century is the face of your school. It's where most of the people that are interested in your school are going to go and to determine whether or not you're compatible with their beliefs. They'll check your statement of faith. They'll check your curriculum. Then they'll look for the soul of your school, your activities, and look for the smiles and look for the relationships that are going on in that website. So it portrays something. There's an emotion there on that website. And we want to be an emotion of love and enjoyment and the gospel. All the other parts are benefits that God has blessed. It's not what we did. It's what God has blessed in this classical movement. Despite us, he's loving our children and our students. It's a distinctive. Monthly newsletters. Communicate with your newsletters. It's a monthly newsletter. The Friday, the last Friday of the month is for the next month. It tells about all the calendars and events of your school. Have that on your website. Send that home to your parents. Let them know what's going to happen before it's going to happen. Be preventive and not reactive. Answer the question before it's asked. And if you didn't communicate it well, then don't do it. If it's not going to look good, don't do it. Quarterly highlights. Each quarter, before the quarter and after the quarter and the end of the year, look backwards and look forwards. Grab the highlights, the positives, and communicate that with your parents. You can find great things in your school. Look for them, find them, and celebrate them together. Create momentum. Don't expect it just to happen. You must communicate the good things that are going. Take pictures. Grab the camera. Go in the classroom and take some pictures. Go to field day. Go to the spirit day. Get out. Celebrate. Enjoy it. Communicate that you are proud of the students for them being a part of this education. You are proud of what they're doing and that they love it. So make sure you say it. People say, well, it goes without saying. No, it goes with saying it. Say it. Show it. Love it. Second component, you must be a people person, not a people pleaser. Very two different things. A people person is a person that listens, wants to listen, wants to hear, but not to please. Big difference often in this position, people that are teachers and people that are ministers and administrators. This is what separates often the administrator from being a counselor, a minister, and a teacher, is that you got to sit there and you got to nod your thank you, yes. Yes, thank you. I do understand what you're saying. I do hear what you're saying. But no, I'm not going to do that. Based on my experience, that has not been successful in the past. Thank you for coming in, though. I do appreciate that. You have to be able to say no. You have to be able to say no. So right now, just take a minute or two. Right now, I want you to just get up. Find somebody in the room. I want you to look them right in the face. Smile. And thanks, Jimmy, I appreciate you coming in. But no, we're not going to do that this year. Go ahead. See if you can do it. Find you somebody. Amen. All right. All right, teachers. All right, administrators, board members. I tell you, I was in graduate school. I was in graduate school getting my degree in educational administration, and this retired superintendent, wise man, had me do that exercise. And I tell you, if you cannot stand up to a person and say no, then you should not be an administrator. You're going to be tossed to and fro. There are policies you have to enforce, and there are principles that you have to enact, and everybody is not going to agree with them. They are not going to agree with them. So you cannot be a people pleaser. It doesn't matter if that skirt is supposed to go to the back of your knee crease and it's an inch higher than that, and that mom is going, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You're a legalist? What are you doing? Yes, ma'am, I am. And it didn't get to the crease of the knee. Your child will get an office visit. Thank you for coming in, though. I appreciate it. I heard what you had to say. I did take it into consideration. But that's where it goes. And that's where buck stops. So don't be in administration if you cannot stand up. If it's in the handbook, then you enforce it. That's your job. Don't put it in there if you're not going to enforce it. Don't weenie out, as my wife says. Don't be a weenie. Administrator, you can't be a weenie. When it says that, then you must do it. Then do it in love, appreciative of them coming in, thankful for the taking the time. Love them by holding the standard. But you must hold the standard too as well. Are you kidding me, Dr. Stevenson? 89.97. My child's had straight A's since ninth grade. And now they're in 12th grade. And I knew that teacher before she even got in that class was going to do this to her. And she got 89.97. And you said A started at 90. Well, how? That's 3/1000ths of a point. That's right. Missed it by 3/1000ths of a point. Thank you for coming in. I appreciate it. I have heard what you had to say. But 89.97 is not a 90.00. I see it that black and white. Yes, ma'am, I do. Yes, ma'am. It saves you a lot of time. It creates a sense of understanding that there is someone in charge when someone is willing to make the tough decision and to enforce it. If you waffle, oh my goodness, where is it now? 89.95? Oh, I cannot believe it. It's like 89.947. I'm 3/100ths of a point away. I cannot believe you're not going to. You see, the standard move. If you let the standard move, it will continue to move. Be a people person, not a people pleaser. You follow the policy manual. See a question, but I'll have questions and answers at the end. Know the policies. If you haven't already, if you're out of school and you're an administrator, you haven't already read the policy, shame on you. If you are about to take a job or you have taken a job and you haven't read the policy manual, shame on you. You need to know what it is they expect from you. Read it. Read the policies. What I have found is that I'm usually the keeper of the policies, because most of the board didn't read it. Or if they didn't read it, they're not applying it. And in a policy manual, what's a protection for you, administrators, what's a protection for you is the policies. That is your protection. Because you can say, now, wait a minute. I think policy governance 4.23 states that that's my job and that the board shall not talk to a teacher. I believe that's what it says. So the policy manual works both ways. It cuts both ways. Know what the policy manual is. Know what your job is, and know what their job is as a board. You must apply the policies, administer the policies. Study the playbook. Know it before you sign up. Remember, I'm going to go back to the body comparison again. The board is the head. It writes the playbook. I was a quarterback in high school, college, and at the professional level. I don't show up to a camp and say, hey, I brought my own playbook. Oh, no. You must follow the playbook. And when you step in that huddle with your staff or with your parents, you don't step in and say, man, didn't like this playbook when I begun, this thing. I don't know, guys. Well, we should do this. No, you step in there and you say, this is going to work. This is the plan. And let's do it. You got to believe it. You got to love it. You got to embrace it. So know the policies. Teach the principles. Policies are policies, but principles is why to the policies. Teach the principles. Why to these? Why are we doing it this way? Why do we have a uniform code? Why do we teach Shirley English? Or why do we expect kids to stand up when called on? Why do you do certain things? You have to teach the principles. And where do we teach those? Let's go back to that communication. Our admin highlights, our week at a glance, our open house meetings, our muffins for moms, before the school starts, every opportunity we can in a large setting with groups, teach the principles. I will say in open group, I really don't care about the uniform code. Character comes and goes. Fashion comes and goes, but character is what's most important. And the uniform code is allowing us to get at the character of the child. That's what's important. I don't care if it's an inch below the knee or an inch above the knee, but wherever it is, what I care about is the character of the child that understands that doing that is important. It's building character in them. So that's the principle. The principle is the character building. It's not the length of the hair. Understand that. Student-parent handbook. Make sure that student-parent handbook is describing what you want daily. Talk about conduct, talk about behaviors. Your handbook is your guideline to daily operations. It sort of gives you the guide of what you do on a daily basis with teachers and with the students. You're the enforcer of that. So you're the accountability of the handbook. And the handbook, always in a board, what I would tell you to do as an administrator, as a tool, is that when you go as a staff, you go back, you meet with your teachers. Now, in the springtime, let's revisit the handbook. There's any things we need to get better at? Always there are. We need to adapt them. And the uniform code, ask your parents, there are things they like or don't like about it. Ask the students. Consider it. Doesn't mean you do it, but you consider it. Give them opportunity to have feedback. And then you write your handbook. Right now is a good time to have the handbook in writing. And then I do a courtesy check with my board. Courtesy check is where I send, if I'm in doubt with the board, I hear them out. Say, hey, take a look at these things that we're changing. All the highlighted areas are the areas we're going to change. Ask them where they are before you get in the battle. Then they can decide. But don't go into the year with a handbook that they don't support. So make sure you're all on the same page. That's your job, administration. You're the nerves, down and up. You're the nerves. You took input from the staff, parents and kids, looked at the handbook, reached up to the nerves, to the head, say, okay, how does this look? All right, you realize, I can tell you, I got board members I've had before to tell you that I'm going to enforce that handbook. So summertime, we have issues, that's the time. Give them a courtesy check. In doubt, hear them out. Email them all. And I request, administrators, request that any board conversation that happens, that you be CC'd on that conversation. Unless it talks about you. If it's personnel and it's talking about you, then you don't want to hear it. But if it's any of the other conversation going back and forth on the board, say, I want to be a part. CC me on it. And be fearful when they say, nah, we don't think you need to hear that. In today's technology, that's so important. If they're not at a board meeting together, called by the board, and then they're not meeting as a board. But they're outside individually. I want to know what they're thinking. I want them to help me. I want to help them. So ask them to CC you in all conversations. Unless they're talking about you. You want to know. Otherwise, they shouldn't be doing it. Listen twice as much as you speak. Being a people person, listen twice as much as you speak. You need to listen. Always be willing to listen. Always be thankful for people that are coming up to you and talking to you. Be thankful. Always listen. Two ears, one mouth. Slow to speak. Always listen. Thank you for coming in. Appreciate it very much. I heard what you had to say. Thank you for coming in. I appreciate it very much. Very much. I heard what you had to say. Learn to be humble. Adjust and adapt. Right now I can tell if you're here, you're being humble. You're trying to learn from somebody else. You're trying to understand why other people do things differently. And not that you will do it, but you now know there's another way. And that equips you. You're equipping yourselves. And so be quick to ask. Be quick to say, you know, I'm not sure if I'm understanding what you're saying. Can you say that again? Be humble. Be humble. Administrators are in a play that's going on a stage, and that stage is your school, and those classrooms, and in those activities. What people don't see is all of this has happened and is working because of the administrator sitting out in the audience. You support those things. You organize those things. You are in the details to making sure all that looks good and all that's working. So often your work is not on the stage. If you need attention on you, all the attention on you, don't be an administrator. Because only times usually that attention gets on you is when it's not going well. So don't expect you to get a lot of positives. That's what the board's supposed to be doing, supporting you. Third thing, be quick to confess and slow to criticize. Please forgive me. I see how you misunderstood that. Please forgive us. Please forgive me. I was miscommunication on my part. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. I didn't mean that. I meant something total, Mrs. Johnson, when I told you that at the staff meeting. Please forgive me. Be quick to confess. Have a spirit in your school that your leaders are quick to confess. Slow to criticize others. You are the one that's going to set that standard at your school. Second part to that, no whining about the board, no whining about parents, no whining about students. You can't be a model for them if you get into a staff meeting and you talk about what the board is not doing, or if you get in a staff meeting and you talk about the parents, what they're not doing. And then you tell the teachers, well, you know what? And the teachers are saying, somebody needs to tell that parent, stop talking about me. Well, you just created a culture by your actions of whining and complaining and criticizing. Stop it. Stop it. You got to tell them to stop it. We're not going to do that here. We are working for the Lord. The board is the head. The curriculum is a skeleton. You're the muscles. We're going to work with you to strengthen you. You're not the board, and you're not the administration. So love the kids with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, teachers. Love the kids. Love your neighbors, yourself. We're not going to talk about teachers in here. Other teachers are parents. Last thing that I have before I open up the questions is you have to count it all joy. You have to love your job. And when you're sitting there and that parent is getting mad at you, and I've been cussed out many times at a Christian school, believe it or not, Christian schools, people get very upset with me because I'm holding the standard, and they're railing about the standard or about things that they don't like about the school. You just sit there. You count it all joy. You just count it all joy. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to say attitude check, and I want all of you to say count it all joy. Attitude check.
Count it all joy.
Attitude check.
Count it all joy.
Attitude check.
Count it all joy.
You remember that when it comes in to the heat of the battle, and you're sitting there, and you know that this is your role, and you know that you are with your teacher, or you are with a parent against the teacher, and the teacher's coming at you, or you're with a board member that's not at a board meeting, they're coming at you and cussing you, a board member, you sit there and you say to yourself, because that's happened to me, count it all joy. And I get a little smile, and I tell you, it makes them matter. So then I sort of take my smile away, because I don't want to get them any matter, because they might hit me. But count it all joy. I'm going to have questions, but I'd like to pray for you before I do that. Father in heaven, indeed, there will be trials. We should expect them. Father in heaven, you know you are with us. We know you are with us. So who can be against us if we stand for your ways? So, Father, convict us when we don't stand for your ways. And then give us strength to stand for your ways. I thank you for those that are called to this purpose. I pray you equip them and encourage them. Forgive me, Father. Forgive me for any words that I have spoken that would have misled one of these today at this meeting. I ask for their forgiveness as well. And Father, despite all that I've said and despite of all the things that could go wrong, I pray you be with them, guide and strengthen them. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's his name I offer this prayer. Amen. Yes, sir. The question is that what if you hold a standard as an administrator of an 89.97 and they appeal to the board and the board overrules it? Well, the board chair doesn't have the authority to make that decision. Then you got to stand up to the board chair. You got to stand up to what's right. Unless the board has motion, second, pass in public, in writing, that the board chair is now going to make decisions based on grading scale. But they haven't done that. Then that person does not have any authority. Does that make any sense? But if he does do that, and to me it's micromanaging, but if the board does do that, then you let it go. You smile. Thank you. They're the head. Count it all joy. In your mind, you should go, attitude check, Dr. Stevenson, count it all joy. Just, you can even lift up your fist if you want to. Just, yeah, just. Yes, ma'am. The question is, how long are my morning meetings with staff? And well, if we do it enough, And you do it all year. You don't have to do it as long. That's one of the things I want to say first. Generally, it's a contractual issue. So at your school, administrators, there's another a guide that you have to go by with regards to teachers, and that's their contracts and their ministry contracts and when it starts and when it ends. So some contracts will have 45 minutes at the end or 45 minutes in the before school or half an hour on both sides. I would recommend a half hour on both sides. And I meet with my staff about 20 minutes. I go about 20 minutes. And I tell my other, as a superintendent, I would tell my other principals, we got to let them out. We got to let them out 3 days a week. We got to let them out a certain time. But it's not usually us, the administrators, just trying to say go. It's not, the teachers are, they're connected. They're going. So we have to stop it. And we'll pick it up. If it's important enough, I'll do a follow-up. I have my admin assistant, or I'll do a follow-up and email about the discussion we had and how important that is. That communication, hearing, being available. My administrator is never available. They're always in the office. Don't do that. Dedicate that time. And let your parents know. Parents, my teachers are off limits during these times. So in the morning time, they're off limits. We got things that we got to take care of. Afternoons, you can set up some times to meet with them or during their prep periods. Another real quick thing, administrators, is a very vital thing that I call a floater. An admin assistant, an assistant teacher that's a floater that you can use. It's to me, it's a vital tool that when you need for a teacher to meet with someone, with yourself or somebody else, or a teacher to go visit another teacher in peer evaluation or peer coaching, having a floater as an assistant that fills in as a substitute when someone's sick, but also for teachers to cross-pollinate, if you will, so they can go sub for a teacher, to watch a teacher, also sub for a teacher, to meet with a parent. So that's a vital tool that's often missed. Is an admin aide, admin assistant, not a teacher's aide, because teachers own them. They think they own them. That's mine. You can't take mine. It's an admin assistant aide that assists the administration in helping evaluation and learning in-house. You don't need to send them 500 miles to go get teacher training. Find your best teacher is good in student management. Find your best teacher in math. Find your best teacher that is effective in transitioning from one subject to another and singing songs and doing review, and have your teachers go watch those teachers. They love that. When you say, you know what, you were excellent today. I love what you did. I want some other teachers to go watch you. And then you have the means to make that happen. So, yes, sir. Yeah. Question is, what would I recommend for a brand new head of school to read in preparedness for their first year of being an administrator? Ecclesiastes would be a good one. But what I would recommend is my wife told me not to plug myself. But I'm going to go against that. See, I can say no to my wife. I wrote a book about 3 or 4 years ago with brand new administrators in mind. And what it is, it's just a roadmap to say, hey, this will keep you, hopefully, from making terrible mistakes. And so I wrote a handbook for administrators, a template for classroom Christians. Administrators at classical Christian schools. The first thing, though, I would say is that policy manual. The second thing would be the handbooks. And then if you have questions, ask your board about the policies and interpretation of those, because guess who's going to have to apply those? You are. So ask your board, read through those policies, go through your handbooks. Ask the board would be the best team that you could have. And one of the things that I think has been important that I've been doing for the last 12 or 13 years is boards, find an experienced administrator around and try to get that person to be a mentor. I call it a principal advisory team. I'm doing this for two schools next year with new administrators, so pay $500 a month, whatever it is, you can't afford not to do it, and say, have them on retainer and tell your administrator, go ask them. Because boards don't run schools. They don't have a master's degree in education administration or a doctorate in education administration. They haven't been a part of a school as a teacher or as a parent. So give them some help. So those policy manuals, handbooks, seven laws of teaching, get ahead of that, know the seven laws of teaching, and connect, reach out to some people as an administrator. Get some help. Call some experienced administrator and ask them, if your board's not going to support you in doing that, ask them if they'd be willing to help you. In doubt, hear your board out. Any other questions? Yes, sir.
How do you recommend a lot of schools in there are smaller schools generally because not all carries regions?
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of struggle with retention issues.
Right.
What are some of the things just as an administrator that you see that's important?
Yes, the question is what as an administrator are some strategic action plans or bullet points in regards to retaining students and retention, particularly at small schools, not your large schools. And I'm currently a superintendent of a school of 40 students, one of 100 students, one of 131, and one of 250 students. So, and I've been there for, of all these schools, at least 2 years in heading up these schools. So I very much understand in small schools the struggle. Well, I think the first thing you have to always lead to, and it doesn't go without saying, I'm going to say it, you lead with the gospel. You leave, well, this is what we can guarantee, Mom and Dad. What we can guarantee is that we're going to hire teachers that love Jesus Christ with all the heart, soul, strength, and mind. Christ is going to be in the center of our curriculum, and we're going to love your child. That's what I can guarantee you. And I'm not going to apologize for that. And if you find another school who can do that better than we can, go. Now, these other areas, what you have to say, yes, you have to be ready. Do your research. Be prepared. There are resources for you to help these kids. Combine classes when you need to. Make sure. One of the things that I try to recommend is that with your curriculum is that when you have teachers, you need... For these teachers, you need to get that curriculum to them as soon as possible so they can be prepared that first day and have as much runway as they can. For these small schools, we usually have teachers, very few teachers, and not necessarily a lot of support for them. Now, for the secondary, as much as you can, you want to develop activities. Because people talk about the school I was at one time was Cary, and they act like it was 800 students my first year. No, it had four headmasters in 5 years. And so we were in a little bit of a shift, not sure where we stood. And so we just needed to do some stabilizing and some security. And I believe that a strong leadership saying we're committed to this model and we're going to do it, but we're not going to sacrifice your kids for it. We're going to love them through it. So come with us through this journey. We're going to love them through it. And God mashes down. He presses down. He adds to it if you're faithful. When I say that, please don't take it wrong. What I mean by faithful is that find families that are committed K through 12. Tell families we want them to be committed kindergarten through 12. We don't want to compromise Christ in second grade. We don't want to compromise Christ in fifth grade. We don't want to compromise Christ for the College Board in 10th grade. We don't want to compromise Christ in 12th grade. How about you? and see what kind of answer they give you. You got them. That's strong leadership. Commitment with Christ all the way through K through 12. That's the families you're after. You don't, people have been interviewed by newspapers and magazines. And say, Dr. Stevenson, what has been your secret to success in growing these schools? All the schools we've helped the last 2 years, all have grown. What is that? What are you doing? Commitment to Christ is the first thing. Commitment to Christ. Do things well, the second thing. We're going to do all things well for the glory of God. The third thing, we don't worry about numbers. We don't compromise the first two because of numbers. We seek to glorify God. Now, that's a principled approach, administrators. What that means is that as one of the philosophies that I had that the board supported is that I didn't make admission decisions based on finances. I made admissions decisions based on commitment to Christ. And so if we went through an admissions process and that family was like-minded, and I knew they were like-minded, and one of my administrators knew they were like-minded, I accepted them on the spot. And they would go, well, I only can put one child in. And I said, no, I want all four of them. Well, but I can only pay for one. I want all four. All four. Boom! The numbers. The numbers. The momentum. The community, the reputation, that Christ led, that school led with what? The gospel and the way that we're doing it, not on finances, not a racket, not a business, but it's a ministry, a commitment to families. How do those schools grow? They grow because families, they come. They come. They bring their children to you. Because they know where your heart is. They know where your heart is. I am not a person that's in this movement. I'm not a person that left a public school superintendent administrative job to go to a small Christian school for money. It's for Christ. How can we expect God to bless it if we're not faithful? Not just to the rich. This is not just for the rich school, ACCS. That's not who we are. Amen? Attitude check. That was weak. That was weak. You wouldn't start for my team. God bless you. Thank you. Mm-hmm.